The fantasy playoffs are here, and let's help you with some of your difficult but key matchup decisions for this week. We're not going to be talking about the obvious starters in your lineup. We're talking about those final one or two guys that have to get in there that could determine your chances in the playoffs. And I think a great place to start is with DeAndre Swift this week, who, look, these last few weeks have been concerning for DeAndre Swift, and we warned you about this last week. We mentioned in multiple different pieces of content on this YouTube channel, over with our work on Yahoo, that DeAndre Swift was in the sketchy spot of the week against Dallas, a top five run defense. And you can see what he did in that matchup. Just 11 carries for 39 yards. This was the second straight blowout that he was in, and that ended up meaning that he lost some usage. As you can see, over these last two games, he's only played, according to Fantasy Life, our official data partner, 46% of the snaps in total and less than 50% of the rush attempts. Who has been seeing more usage? Well, if we were to scroll here, you would see that Kenneth Gainwell has seen a little bit more usage. Majority of the snaps in week 13 and 44% of the snaps, much more than he's seen the last few months, in week 14. But of course, this is skewed due to the blowout usage, and in week 13, DeAndre Swift left in the fourth quarter after taking a pretty hard hit. The good news is that this week, the Eagles are 4-point favorites in a really winnable matchup, in a game that should stay much closer than the previous two against the 49ers and the Cowboys. This is going to be a matchup against the Seahawks, who do have a struggling defense and also struggle against opposing running backs. And all of this is important because Swift averages 64% of the snaps and over 13 fantasy points in closer games. So expect DeAndre to have a bounce back performance and a solid performance against the Seahawks, to allow the ninth most production to opposing RBs. Now, Swift isn't the only player I think you can start from this game who you might be having to decide on in your flex, and the other guy is Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the rookie for the Seahawks. Now, the last time we saw JSN, he only had four catches for 24 yards. This was a week ago against the 49ers. Not all that great, but we warned you about his matchup. Last week, we discussed how JSN doesn't do well against zone coverage, and the 49ers play a lot of zone coverage. He does much better against man coverage. And we saw exactly this a few weeks back against Dallas when he had 11 targets, a season high against a Dallas team that plays man coverage at a top five rate. And now this is all important because he's facing the Eagles this week, who play man coverage at a top 10 rate. And not only that, but Philadelphia is allowing the most production to opposing wide receivers this year, meaning when you take into account all of the receptions, yards, touchdowns, they give up the most production. And this spot that the Seahawks passing attack is in is a dream spot when it comes to fantasy and overall production. A home small underdog against a bad secondary. That's exactly what you're getting here in the Seahawks as 4-point underdogs against Philadelphia. All of this should mean good things for JSN, who's actually been seeing a lot more usage the last few weeks, which typically happens as a rookie gets more weeks under his belt in his first year. And you can see that right here on Fantasy Life, our official data partner. His target share is how much of the targets he's earning out of all the targets going around each game, 31% 2 weeks ago, and then 23%. Anything above 20% is good. Anything approaching 25% is great. The 30% range is elite. He's in that good to elite range right now these past few weeks. So he's worth starting in week 15, and this next guy is definitely worth starting, but also taking a lot of his player props and DFS. He's great. And just in general, he might be a top five option. That's how good of a spot this is. And that guy I'm talking about is Rashad White, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back who has the best role in football the past two games. And let me get a little bit more specific. These last 2 weeks, you can see right here on his snaps, 50 and 56, that's about 90% of the Bucs snaps. Not a lot of if any other running backs are doing that. And then his rush attempts, 20 and 25. That's great, so 20 plus in each week, and when you take into account his passing game work, he's seeing over 25 opportunities a game during this time. And with that, he put up 100 plus yards in both of those contests. He now has three straight games of 100 plus yards, and look, you can say, oh, he's taking advantage of easier matchups these past few weeks. Yeah, well, those are going to continue this week. Because Rashad White's going to go on the road as a 3.5-point underdog, a 4-point underdog in some spots against the Green Bay Packers, who run defense right now gives up the most production this season to opposing running backs. We just saw Green Bay in week 14 give up 100 plus yards and two touchdowns to Saquon Barkley and 70 plus rushing yards to the quarterback for the Giants, Tommy DeVito. And as a 3-4-point underdog, Rashad White might have to be leaned on for his receiving game usage, which he's top three in running back receiving usage this year. You're starting him. He's a top five option. Take all his player props. It's a great spot. And now similar things can be said for Pat Freiermuth, who a few weeks ago, he had that big 120 plus yard game. Everybody had them on their benches. They played him the next week. He let them down. But now I'm telling you, this is a week to play him. Because look, I get it. He only had three catches, 18 yards. This was a Thursday night football game. Everybody watched it. It wasn't a great performance. But if you watch this game, you know it wasn't his fault at all. Because for like the first 3.5 quarters of play, Mitchell Trubisky really struggled. One of, if not the worst quarterback performances during that time this entire year. But the bright spot is Pat Freiermuth still earns 7 targets from Trubisky in this game. And even better news is that this week he's going to go on the road as an underdog. So should be a little bit more passing here for the Steelers against a Colts secondary that runs the highest rate of zone coverage in the NFL. 84% of their defensive plays are zone coverage. And this is important because one key way and a solid way to beat a zone zone defense is through a tight end, especially if you have a good tight end. That's where Freiermuth comes in. He beat zone coverage his entire time at Penn State, and he's done it throughout his first few seasons in the NFL. And you can see in week 14, he ran 83% of the routes, by far the most that he's seen since returning from injury about a month ago. You can see the previous weeks on Fantasy Life's data here, 62%, 68%, then it skyrockets to 83%. I expect to see season high usage in week 15. So you can start Freiermuth this week. And before we get into the next receiver who's in an ideal matchup and you must start him, I just want to let you know to hit the subscribe button. We're in the fantasy playoffs. The season is strolling to an end here. Just make sure you have that subscribe button hit, as we're oh so close to 100,000 subscribers, something I've been working towards for 5+ years. I appreciate you all a ton if you could do that for me. All right, enough with the solicitation. Back to the video, and we get here Jaden Reed, who is somebody who, yeah, on primetime Monday Night Football, you just got to watch this guy get very involved for 12 more touches, 8 more catches, 10 more targets in the offense, but it should get only better this week. And let me tell you something. For somebody who bet the over 30 at 8.5 receiving yards for Jaden Reed, for a guy to have 8 catches, 12 touches, and not get there, absurd. But that's besides the point. He is still Jordan Love's number one option in this offense. Maybe he has been for the entire year, but especially with Christian Watson expected to miss yet again with a hamstring injury. And you can kind of see the usage of Jaden Reed here. You saw in week 14, it was a little weird. He didn't get back up to his 75 to 85% of the snaps, but that's because in week 12, he ended up getting hurt. In week 13, he played limited, just 51% of the routes run. In week 14, it came up a good amount. It didn't really affect his target share though, because basically every time he was on the field, he was being targeted, had 10 targets translated to a 27% target share. Every week he's involved in this offense. It's now to the point where they're complaining that he has too many rushing attempts in the game, with 4 in a game and not getting the 2-point conversion. The Packers fans, that's how much he's involved in the offense. And now the important thing to call out is this week he's going to be facing the Bucs, who run the 7th highest rate of cover 3 zone defense this season. And why is that important? Well, Reed earns the most yards per route run against this coverage scheme for the Packers this season. It makes sense. He's a very quick twitch player, guy underneath who could beat zone coverages. And I must call out that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now give up the 3rd most receiving yards to opposing wide receivers this season. I think this is another big spot where you're going to see Jaden Reed take over. And if you don't remember, the same Bucs secondary just a week ago gave up a career high 10 catches for 172 yards to Drake London in an offense that doesn't throw the ball a lot, led by Desmond Ridder, who's a much, much worse quarterback to this point in their careers than Jordan Love has shown. So Jordan Love should be able to take full advantage of this secondary, and Reed will benefit from that. Start Reed. And also start Noah Brown, who we quickly mentioned in our waiver wire video as an ad, but you really need to be thinking about this guy even after he only got you 0 points last week, and here's why. Even though he had 0 points, he actually had 19% of the targets for this team, which is right around an above average game for him. It's his second highest mark on the season. And look, this bad performance wasn't his fault. Everything went against Noah Brown in week 14. He had a tough matchup against the Jets, bad weather when it was raining the whole first half, and CJ Stroud left with injury. Not to mention that Nico Collins went down early, and there was even more attention on Noah Brown that they weren't planning for. But now he has a lot of things going his way this week and for the rest of the fantasy playoffs. For starters, he's going to get his first of 2 matchups against the Tennessee Titans in the fantasy playoffs. He plays them again in 2 weeks, and the Titans allow the most overall production to outside wide receivers this season. And now that's important, because even though Noah Brown saw a lot of slot usage last week and the week before that, he should get more outside usage this week, because there's a chance that Nico Collins doesn't suit up after straining his calf. And a lot of times these calf strains can take a couple of weeks to actually go out there and heal, especially in terms of any position, a wide receiver position, an alpha wide receiver position, where you have to win and be physical. So with Nico Collins' status up in the air, there's a chance that Noah Brown, since Tank Dell is out for the season, and even Dalton Schultz, the tight end, is battling injury, Noah Brown might be the number one option by a mile here. And just to remind you, earlier this season when Nico Collins was out, we saw Noah Brown transition into that Nico Collins role, seeing more downfield intermediate to deep balls 20 plus yards downfield. And here's what he did. He had 6 catches for 153 yards, was the wide receiver 3 over 27 fantasy points. What does he do the next week? 7 catches, 172 yards, wide receiver 6 over 24 fantasy points. Wasn't a fluke. Now, I'm not expecting these performances out of Noah Brown, but I am expecting him to see a little bit more usage, especially downfield, where it can lead to these big plays. So I want to be starting Noah Brown this week, and I want to also be looking at Robert Woods and Xavier Hutchinson in deeper leagues if indeed Nico Collins is out. Now, another player worth considering is Ty Chandler in Minnesota, and this is because, look, Alexander Mattison left last week's game with an ankle injury. As of this recording, it's not known if it is indeed a high ankle sprain. That'll probably come out shortly after this recording. If that's the case, he's definitely going to miss some time. And if Mattison is missing some time, that means that there's going to be a starting role and potentially a full 3 down back workhorse role for Ty Chandler, which is basically what you saw in week 14 when Mattison left. It ended up leading to Chandler seeing a season high in usage, 15 overall touches. Now, he wasn't extremely efficient. You can see right here, just 42 yards on his 15 touches. But can you really blame him when the Minnesota offense had their worst day in a very long time, barely scoring 3 points? And this bad day was highlighted by their quarterback, Joshua Dobbs, after the bye week being benched in this game for Nick Mullins. So I'm not blaming Ty Chandler here, because we've seen it. He was the most productive running back on a per touch basis in the preseason, and we saw saw it even earlier this year, him be explosive and efficient. When he faced up against the Denver Broncos and on 14 touches, at that point a season high usage, had 110 total yards, and he had a couple of big runs late. This wasn't like garbage time. It was in the fourth quarter when the game was on the line in prime time. He was having 25 plus yard plays. And now this week's matchup is honestly, it's not as good as the matchup at the time was against Denver, but it is still pretty good. The Bengals right now against the run give up the seventh most production on the entire season, and even more to explosive backs like Chandler. So if Alexander Mattison is out, Ty Chandler is a top 20 running back and somebody I want in my fantasy lineups. And now if you're watching this video, there's a very strong chance you're in your fantasy playoffs or are trying to avoid a last place punishment. But also I want to let you know, to get even more action down on some of these games from a fantasy perspective, you can check out Prize Picks, our partners now for 3 years. Here's just a little example here. If you think Christian McCaffrey, his number is set at 85 and a half rushing yards, you just take the more or less of that, combine it with any other props that you want. You could look at different types of sports, different types of overall statistics and positions. Everything is available on Prize Picks. It is that simple. You just take the more or less on a couple of different plays, combine them together, and try to win some money based on your fantasy football knowledge. And Prize Picks is giving our community, so that is you, the beautiful person, a free deposit bonus to new users. And that simply just means if you put in $20, you get $20 right back, all the way up to $100. So if you just put in $100, you get $100 right back. That is basically a $100 free bet. So to take advantage of this offer and join the thousands of other people already using Prize Picks in our community, just scan the QR code on the screen or click the link in the description below. Now back to our beautiful video here, and I want to talk about Isaiah Likely, who after what he did last week, you're probably already starting him, but maybe you have a solid other tight end on your team, and here's why you want to consider strongly Likely yet again. He's coming off of his best day by far against the Rams. He had almost 20 fantasy points, 7 targets is very strong for him. He had a big 40 plus yard touchdown where he's basically wide open, but that's what you're going to get from an athletic tight end from time to time who's working his way downfield. In now the last two games without Mark Andrews, we've seen him run 87% of the routes. This is elite. Tight ends who run 80% or more of the routes on average finish as a top 12 tight end that week, so that's already a reason you want him in your lineup. And he's seen 16% of the targets, with that increasing to 18% after the bye week. And now look, Isaiah Likely kind of got a bad rap because in week one, when Mark Andrews wasn't active, he just didn't have a great game. People were hyping him up, and this left a lot of people flat and disappointed by him. But all you had to do was look at his larger sample from 2022, and it started as a rookie in the preseason, as you can see right here, when he was the number one player in preseason history for PFF. You can see right here, 94.1 receiving grade in the 2022 preseason, best in PFF era, best in PFF history, that means. And he also had a solid regular season as well. Likely averaged 8.3 targets in 3 games where he saw at least 45% of the snaps. And the recent production that we saw in week 14 and his solid usage should only continue in a great matchup this week, because Isaiah is going to face the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Jaguars give up the 7th most production to opposing tight ends. And if you don't recall what they did last week, let me remind you. They gave up a monster game to David Njoku, over 90 yards, 6 catches, and 2 touchdowns. Yes, indeed, you should be trying to start Isaiah Likely again. And you should also try and start this next running back, whose individual matchup itself might not be elite, but the situation is great. And that'll be the Chiefs running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Isaiah Pacheco was out last week, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire remained as the number one RB in this backfield, and Pacheco might miss again. We can look at the usage right here from week 14. It was Clyde Edwards-Helaire seeing 48% of the snaps. Now, if you look at this, Jerick McKinnon, it's a little bit deceiving. He plays 45% of the snaps, so it looks like a split backfield, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire 65% of the carries, McKinnon 24% of the carries. They ran very similar amounts of routes, so you could say, okay, well, how did this possibly happen? It's because McKinnon was on the field in the 2-minute offense, both in the first half and the second half, and he was basically just running and pass protecting for the most part. So he wasn't picking up any type of stats or usage when he's pass protecting out there in that situation. And in most weeks, the Chiefs aren't going to be trailing and even have the ball in the 2-minute offense both times trying to score. Honestly, despite how inconsistent they played this year, it shouldn't happen again down the stretch, as they're 6-point favorites or better in their final 4 games. And that starts this week against the New England Patriots on the road, as they're basically 10-point favorites here. Now, the matchup against the Patriots defensive line isn't the best one for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but when you're a 10-point favorite, this implies that there's going to be some red zone usage for him. He saw all the rushing usage last week. I'm looking at least a dozen touches, upwards of 15 plus, and a touchdown opportunity or two. And it was also encouraging to see that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, although he only put up about 9 fantasy points last week, on his 13 touches, he was efficient. Between his rushing and receiving yards, he was averaging over 5 yards per touch, not something that we're used to seeing in previous seasons. Assuming Isaiah Pacheco is out, you can indeed start Clyde Edwards-Helaire this week. So these are some of the best matchups and situations that aren't the obvious ones that will help you when preparing for your week 15 fantasy matchup. And what will also help your team is getting guys on your roster that are going to help you not just for this week, but future weeks, whether that's defenses in beneficial spots, handcuff running backs. In our waiver video that released earlier this week, and you can find right here, will help you identify just the players you want to try and win a fantasy championship. Now, if you made it to the end of this video, be sure to hit the subscribe button, as 65% of people are not subscribed to this channel, and we're so close to 100,000. Takes 2 seconds, just double check that you're subscribed, and I'll see you all in the next one.